Good morning and welcome to Sunday School Lesson of today, October 29, 2023, brought to you by the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Christ the Lord Parish, Lekki, Lagos. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we worship you and reverence your name. Thank you for enabling us to see a brand new day, Lord. As we go through today's lesson, we ask for the assistance of the Holy Spirit to give us understanding, so that at the end of it all, we will be better equipped for service in your vineyard. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. Today's lesson is titled, Being Born Again, Part 1. Let us pray and say, Father, enlighten me on the new birth. Father, please enlighten me on the new birth. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Last week, we discussed understanding repentance. The memory verse was taken from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 19, which says, Repent ye therefore, and be ye converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repentance was defined as a change of mind, not just a turning from sin. We discuss the convicting work of the Holy Spirit because as it is the Holy Spirit that gives a sinner a personal understanding and conviction of facts relating to his spiritual state. And this leads to the sinner turning away from sin and amending his behavior. Good deeds will follow thereafter. It was concluded that for one to have truly repented, his character must change from sinful to godly. And this involves both turning away from sin and turning to God. The Bible reading of our lesson for today, Being Born Again, Part 1, is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, from verse 1 to 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, from verse 1 to 7, and I read. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your salvation, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. The memory verse for today's lesson is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, and it says, Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Let's go on to the lesson introduction. Being born again is a state of conversion from being a sinner to becoming a saint. It is a spiritual and transformation. It is a spiritual transformation, that leads to a change of heart, as experienced by Nicodemus, a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council, who, fearing he could be seen by the Jewish leaders, sought Jesus at night. And having been taught by him, he had a change of mind. We can see this in John chapter 3 from verse 3 to 7. So being born again is an act of God, whereby eternal life is imparted to the person who believes, confesses his or her sin, and accepts Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior and Lord. If we claim to be born again, there must be notable evidence to prove we are indeed children of God. As usual, we have two lesson outlines. The first one, a sanctified life, and the second one, a spirit-controlled life. So we're starting off with the sanctified life. The outline is further split into three. A, what a sanctified life is. B, how a sanctified life is obtained. And C, the empowerment to live holy. So starting with A, what is a sanctified life? A sanctified life is a life devoid of sin, separated unto God, and a Christ-like life. It is a righteous life to which God himself can testify. Romans 12 chapter 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So a sanctified life is one which portrays the character of Jesus in whatever we do, whether in talking or dressing or whatever. You know, such a person that lives like that is a Christian or a child of God. Secondly, it is God's will for his children to be sanctified. This means we must abstain from all sin. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 3 tells us we should avoid sexual immorality. Thirdly, going by scriptures, Jesus Christ's followers are expected to be sanctified. 1 Peter 1 from verse 15 to 16 says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." So, as Jesus Christ lived a holy life, it is actually possible for all of us to also live holy consistently. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Thirdly, going by scriptures, Jesus Christ's followers are expected to be sanctified. 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16 says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." So, as Jesus Christ lived a holy life, it is possible for us to also live consistent holy lives. B, how is a sanctified life obtained? Sanctification is obtainable by any of the following ways. One, through the word of God. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth." The word of God guides us to perfection. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness. So constant study and meditation of the word of God will help us to obtain sanctification. Secondly, the blood of Jesus, as we see in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 12, which says, "Jesus, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." Jesus shed his blood for us, that we may be cleansed from our sin that previously condemned us. And the third way we may be sanctified is through heart surgery. This involves a person surrendering to God daily, as we see in Ezekiel chapter 36, from verse 25 to 27. It means that on a daily basis, we must examine our hearts and allow the Lord to remove our stony hearts and give us hearts of flesh, which is devoid of offense and harshness. C, finally, as children of God, we're empowered to live holy, to bear spiritual fruit, and have a guaranteed eternity in the Lord. After we are born again, we receive a measure of the Holy Spirit, and this enables us to be obedient to the will of God and bear the fruit of the Spirit, as we see in Galatians 5. The second outline, a spirit-controlled life. If we say we are born again, then we must be controlled by the Holy Spirit, who does many things in our lives. We have about 10 different things that the Holy Spirit does for us in this lesson outline. Firstly, he gives us power over sin. When we live by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Secondly, he empowers us to serve God. Remember that the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the first part of it says that, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." So before we can be witnesses, we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to witness to our spiritual adoption. If we are born again and are obedient to him, God lives in us by the Spirit he gave to us. Number four, he helps us to bear fruit unto repentance. The Holy Spirit helps the genuinely saved to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Number five, he controls believers' temperaments. Galatians chapter 5:25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Those who live in accordance with the Spirit set their minds on the desires of the Holy Spirit and not the things of the flesh. Next, the Spirit guides us into all truth. The Spirit only speaks what he hears, which is the truth, excuse me, and guides believers about the future. Also, the Holy Spirit gives life to our mortal bodies. That same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead will renew our lives and make us alive in the service of God. Next, he empowers believers to rebuke and cast out demons, as Paul cast out demons from Elymas with the help of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 13 from verse 8 to 11. Also, the Holy Spirit influences our choices. In the church of Antioch, it was with his help, after fasting, that Barnabas and Paul were separated for the work the Lord calls them to. Without the Holy Spirit, we will make mistakes, but with him, we will make wise choices. Finally, the Holy Spirit sends help and comforts Christians in times of pain, disappointments, loss, trials, and so on. So, going to the class activity, students are to discuss changes in their lives since accepting Christ as Lord and personal Savior. So, well, different people have different experiences. Personally, for me, the Holy Spirit has given me boldness to share the Word of God and to testify of his goodness in my life to others, unlike before, when I felt too shy to do so. The Holy Spirit reminds me of things and guides me step by step. He gives me confidence to face the future. How about you? In conclusion, anyone who is born again must be sanctified and controlled by the Holy Spirit. So let's say the closing prayer. If you are not yet born again, please say after me, "Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior." If you are born again, tell God to keep you till the end, in Jesus' name. Our Father and our God, we thank you, Lord, for the lesson of today. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher and our helper. We pray that the Holy Spirit will guide us all the days of our lives so that we may be successful in our service to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you.